How are y'all today? It's a mixed bag. It's like, how are y'all today? We're like, all right, well, I hope you get better, you know, wherever you are, that you improve from here on out. Glad that you're here. If you didn't get a handout like this, get you one, because it tells all the things that we're doing. And so somewhere, when people don't get this handout, they're like, I don't know what's going on. It's like, did you get the handout? Like, no. Okay. Get the handout. That's why we kill these trees. Okay? Now, there's a purpose behind it. We're not just trying to litter or anything. So there's announcements such as, June 11th, 2017, the Secret Sisters, that's for you ladies who are involved in that, will reveal who they've been gifting throughout the year, and then you'll repick it, and it's a cool program. If you're in it, you want to be involved. If you're not in it, you want to join up. If you're a lady, it's good. It's a cool deal. We're having a concert here June 25th, Sunday night. It's Always Praise, which is Keisha Harrison and her crew, her mama, her grandmama, and an aunt, and they rock. I don't know how else to say it. They just rock. You're going to want to be here. It's really good. There's pictures. We're going to have a pictorial directory. We're going to have our pictures taken and put in a directory. There's a sign-up sheet out back where you can sign up for a time. If you just want to get your picture taken, you don't have to even go in the directory. They'll give you a free 8x10 just for coming up and get your picture taken. If you want your picture in the directory, they'll put that. That's all free. If you want to have family pictures done professionally, that's where, you know, you'll have to pay something. But everything outside that is free, okay? So it's a cool deal. Then we can look at each other's lovely faces some other time besides Sunday. You know what I'm saying? Be like, I just want to look at, you know, maybe not Keith Whipple per se, but, you know, y'all look. Y'all need to see what I saw just then. That was something. So just pay attention to these things going on. It'll be good. We got a lot of things going on today. We want to say right off the bat, congratulations to our grads. Let's give them a hand right now. Now look, we want to tell you we love you and we're happy for you, but we don't want you to get the big head, you know, because there's other stuff you got to do in life. You know, this is not where, this is not retirement. This is commence. This is beginning mint, right? So, but we're happy. We're proud of you for those who have done that. We're going to have a skit today. We're going to have a sermon today. We're going to sing praises to God today. And so if you're ready for that, it's time, okay? Are y'all ready? All right, let's pray together and we'll get going. Lord God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for this time. Thank you for the opportunity we have to gather in this place, that we credit you for providing us. And we're thankful. And Father, I pray that you'd help us as we sing your praise, as we hear your word, as we do skits, as we recognize our young people for the accomplishments that they've made. We pray, Lord, that you would be glorified in all of it, that in not one detail it would escape that we take credit or glory onto ourselves, but that we attribute to you that which we couldn't do ourselves. And we say, thank you, Lord. We love you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.
Streams of abundance flow, blessed be your name. together, love.
Now we're going to have a little skit. It's going to be kind of interactive. There's going to be a song, and y'all have heard it, and for the most part, you know it pretty good. So sing with it, but see how it applies to you in the skit we're doing. And if there's anything more than that, Mr. Bill, you go ahead and tell.
Okay, children, y'all can come up. My adults, please come up. Okay, this is about chains that people have in their lives. I'm sure none of y'all have chains, right? You're not bound by sin. You're not bound by pain. You're not bound by fear. Everybody okay out there? They're not bound by none of that stuff. I want you to know that Jesus can break every one of them chains that's got you bound up. As a matter of fact, y'all need to be unbounded today, because Jesus is here. Not in the form of a man. Jesus is actually here right now, and he can break every one of your chains. If you don't believe it, you just listen to this song and watch how Jesus works in breaking chains.
Cigarette that was damaged in the making of this skit. I just wanted you to know. Anyways, I'm so thankful for our youngins, and like I said in that, as we sing that song, it just reminds us, and I hope you receive this. It reminds us that we need the help of God. And you might not have some of the problems that were listed up here. I thought to myself as I read, as mine said, I need freedom from drugs. And I'll tell you the truth today, I do. It's a blood pressure medicine and a diabetes pill that I'd love to be free of. You know, there was a time when there was other drugs that I was glad to be free of, including nicotine and smoking, that I was glad that I've gotten freedom from. But y'all, I'm just telling you, God does those things. And it's no, every single one of us need God's help. And there's no sense in us going, oh, I'm so strong and I can do this on my own. There's something you can't do on your own. And maybe you can do every earthly thing in the world on your own, but I can tell you something you can't do without God, and that's be accepted by faith into heaven without Him. Having a right relationship. It's not about how well you work or how smart you are or how much you have. It's about just trusting Him. Believe me, in your life and in my life, there is something you can't do without Him, and you and I need Him. And that's what that song's about. It's finding what you need in the person of Jesus Christ. And it's just a good song, and I'm glad that we did that. And I'm glad I got to faux smoke a cigarette right here in church, and y'all were witnesses of it. And be like, and the preacher smoked right in front of the church. But I wasn't smoking, right? I was just the sucker on the end. Okay. Y'all know how that goes. We're going to be in the Gospel of Mark. We're going to continue our series. And this chapter, we're in chapter 14. And we're just going to read parts of it. You have an outline in your bulletin. If you got a bulletin, there'll be a handout, an outline of the service. I'm not going to read the whole chapter. I'm just going to read what we're going to touch on today. But I want to put this in your mind. When we come face to face with Jesus, when we think of Jesus, when we come in contact with Him through His Word, through His Spirit, through His person, who He is, it does something about revealing who we are too. Okay? And so, during this sermon, it's a little more introspective. You think about how you've responded to Christ. Who has it revealed you to be? Who has He revealed you to be? And that's what this sermon's about, is just saying, reflecting. When I think about Jesus, who has it said about me and how I've treated Him and how I've responded to Him? Okay, and we're going to see three different responses today. Next week, we'll have a couple more responses from the same chapter. But we're just going to look at three today, so Gospel of Mark, chapter 14. This is what it says. After 2 days, it was the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take Him by trickery and put Him to death. But they said, not during the feast, lest there be an uproar of the people. And being in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, as He sat at the table, a woman came having an alabaster flask of very costly oil of spikenard. Then she broke the flask, poured it on His head. And there were some who were indignant among themselves and said, why was this fragrant oil wasted? For it might have been sold for the poor, sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor. And they criticized her sharply. But Jesus said, let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, and whenever you wish, you may do them good, but me you do not always or have always. She has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as memorial to her. Then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went to the chief priests to betray Him to them. And when they heard it, they were glad and promised to give Him money. So he sought how he might conveniently betray Him. Now on the first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover lamb, His disciples said to Him, where do you want us to go prepare that you might eat the Passover? And he sent them out. He sent out his two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the city, and a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him. Wherever he goes in, say to the master of the house, 'The teacher says, where is the guest room in which I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' Then he will show him a large upper room, furnished and prepared. There, make ready for us." So his disciples went out and came into the city and found it just as he had said to them. They prepared the Passover. In the evening, he came with the 12. Now as they sat and ate, Jesus said, "Assuredly, I say to you, one of you who eats with me will betray me." And they began to be sorrowful and say to him one by one, "Is it I?" And another said, "Is it I?" And he answered and said to him, "It is one of the 12 who dips with me in the dish. The Son of Man indeed goes just as it is written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had never been born." And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and he gave it to them. And he said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup when he had given thanks. He gave it to them, and they all drank from it. And he said to them, "This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many. Assuredly, I say to you, I will no longer drink of the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. I'm jumping down to verse 43 now. I'm sorry, verse 42. "Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." Immediately, while he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, with a great multitude of swords and clubs, came from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. Now his betrayer had given them a signal, saying, "Whomever I kiss, he is the one. Seize him and lead him away safely." As soon as he had come, immediately he went up to him and said to him, "Rabbi, Rabbi," and he kissed him. Then they laid their hands on him and they took him. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for giving us this opportunity today to be with you, to hear your word, to be with one another. And I pray right now, as we think about who you are, would you help us to be reflective? Would you help us to think about how we've reacted? What does our heart say when we're confronted with who you are, with your goodness, with your grace, your mercy, your kindness, your love? What is it that we do in response? Would you help us, Lord, to be honest about where we fall short, to be honest about the bad, the good, the ugly, when we're standing next to you? Help us, Lord, that we might glorify you in this world, in this life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And for some reason my sound just cut out. That's okay. Can y'all still hear me? All right. There's somebody messing with something up there. It's Jamie Harrison. See, y'all see him back there? I don't know what happened. Can y'all hear me?
All right. Whoa.
Hello.
Hello. All right. We're on again. If the other one comes on, it's going to like blow everybody out. So I'm going to shut it off. All right. I've shut it off. We're safe now. There won't be a collision of microphones that ends up being an atomic blast of sound like we've had happen here before. Hopefully it won't happen here today. I wanted you to see three responses. The first is of the scribes and the elders in verses 1 and 2. In verse 1 and 2, these folks have come to the conclusion that they cannot control Jesus. He is not going to fit into their plan. He doesn't work into their worldview. He doesn't care about their authority. He doesn't seem to understand that they're the boss and he's just, you know, a carpenter's son. He doesn't, from their perspective, Jesus is infuriating. Because he doesn't cause people to bow down to the government authority and to their authority. Because he doesn't call people into mindless submission to a corrupt government authoritative plan. So, those people who figure out that they can't control Jesus, they have one option. They want to destroy Jesus. They want to destroy him, and they want to destroy his influence. So we see here in that verse 1 and 2, especially verse 1, it says, they sought, which is a deliberate action, how they might catch him by trickery and put him to death. They want to destroy him. By extension, they want to destroy his teaching. They want to destroy his followers. They want to destroy everything that has to do with him. They don't like him. He's a threat to them. They were in charge, and all of a sudden you've got this guy from Nazareth, from Nowhereville, coming into Jerusalem saying he is the Son of God and that he's going to take the sin of the world and that he's establishing a kingdom of which he's king. They're not king. He's king. And oh, they're threatened because they can't control him. Y'all, listen. That was how they reacted. Is there reactions like that to this day? Of course there are. Why in some of the communist governments are we trying to, do they try to, not just with Christianity, to be fair, but with all religion, they try to stomp it out. But Christianity especially. In the Middle East, there's been crucifixions. Doesn't that seem old-fashioned? Isn't that old school? Why in Syria are they crucifying Christians today and beheading? What? Who are they trying to get at? Who are they trying to stop? Who are they trying to silence? I'll tell you, it's the same one they tried to silence then. They figured out they can't control Jesus. They can't control those who follow him in the sense of making them submit to their own way or their own corruption. And so they said, if we can't break you, we'll destroy you. There's a reason why the Bible's been hated and pursued. In our country, we have a very strange idea, though. Tell me if you've ever thought these thoughts. I can't trust the Bible because it was created by kings who are trying to bring people into subjection underneath their authority. Have you ever thought that? I used to think that. I used to think that religion was the crutch for just everybody who was dumb. Sorry. But now that I'm one of us, you know, I guess you won't be too offended. I thought it was just people who couldn't handle life. It was just dumb. So they make believe, like any other fairy tale or myth, except for this one had teeth, you know, and people were willing to give up and die and do all these things in the name of this God. And I thought, come on, you know, it's just a bunch of kings who made this up to bring people into subjection. Yet, what we find actually in the Bible is that the kings, the leaders, the scribes, the Pharisees, the elders, they were the ones trying to destroy Jesus because they couldn't control him. Jesus was no friend to Pilate. He was no friend to Caesar. He was no friend to the high priest and to the ruling party. I can tell you by extension, he's no friend to the Democrat Party or to the Republican Party or to the Libertarian Party. I'm going to tell you something about Jesus. He's a king above every king. His candidate wasn't Trump, and his candidate wasn't Clinton or any of the other people who didn't make it. Jesus is not interested in us getting free education and free weed, even though that's what Bernie Sanders was running on. That was not his candidate either. Jesus has a kingdom. Jesus is a king. He's not running for office. He's not asking for our vote. He's not asking for our consent. He says, I'm coming here to run this deal. Kings don't like Jesus because he can't be controlled. And it's funny how throughout history, when the government has wanted to do something and move past Christian ethics or past the Word of God or past Jesus, that Christians end up being their life on the line. And you know, they don't back down. And they say, just like the apostle said, we're going to obey God rather than you. But there is always in this world somewhere, maybe not always here in America, but you know, we're not the center of the world, the universe, or God's plan. But there's places in this world that are always going to seek to destroy Jesus and his influence and those who have been influenced by them. In your life and my life, we might not have a sinister plan of wanting to kill Jesus, right? Or his followers or his influence. But I bet you come in contact with some folks, and maybe even in your own life, where you want to stop what God's trying to do because it doesn't fall under your plan. Where you try to say, I'm not going to do that. God, you have control up to this much, but after that, I take over. It's me. It's my way. And we'd stop his influence at a certain point. Y'all, that's akin to what these scribes were trying to do. Jesus was just too dangerous. It would end life as you know it. Has Jesus ever brought you to a decision that would end your world as you knew it? Like, what would my life be without this, or without them, or without these, or without those? And Jesus brings us right up to that point, and we're like, nah. We're going to have to do something about this. Sometimes people fall out of church and they'll say, I was offended. Sometimes they just try to stay away and keep distant. I don't want to be under that influence because it leads me to places I don't want to go and I feel like I'm going to be out of control. If that's true of you, don't run from it. God's big enough to forgive you and me and all of us together. We don't run from God when we realize our faults. We run to him because he has invited us. Come on to me. Everybody, weary, heavy laden, sinner. I almost felt like I had to say sinette, like to incorporate women, but isn't that weird? Like it's got gender, sinner and sinettes. Yeah, we're just all sinners. Yeah. And he invites us to come on to him. This is a trustworthy saying, worthy of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. That's a quote that Paul wrote in one of the books of Timothy. I can't remember which one. I preached it not that long ago. But I know this. I'll say I'm the chief of sinners. Because the truth is, your sin don't sink me. And I'll never be judged for your sin. But my sin puts me hopelessly lost without the help of God. And I need a Savior. And there is only one, and it's Jesus. So if this is your response, own it. Surrender. Go to the place where he'll have you be out of control. It's okay. It'll be okay. He'll take care of you. Don't tell me that you trust God for heaven to take care of you, but not for earth. Trust him. If you trust him here, trust him all the way. The next response is Mary. There's so many Marys in the New Testament. They say this is Mary and the sister of Mary and Martha, but I don't know. It's one of the Marys. But let me tell you, if it was Mary, the sister of Mary and Martha, you know, they saw Lazarus get raised. She saw Jesus as the power of God to raise the dead. If it was Mary Magdalene, she was transformed and renewed, and demons were cast out of her. And she saw the power of God to save from demonic things. If it was the lady caught in adultery, which we don't know her name, but I'm guessing it was Mary. That was the New Testament name for every woman. There's just Mary. There was all these different men, and then there was just Mary. And Mary gets caught in adultery. I don't know if that really was her name, so don't go out here saying, well, John said. But let's just say it was. She saw the generosity, and she saw the courage of Jesus to stand in between her and a bunch of men with rocks who were about to kill her for the sin she committed. She saw Jesus like he was, compassionate, powerful, able to raise the dead, the Son of God. And what's her response? In this passage, her response is to worship him, to take what she has and to worship him. Now, a lot of times we focus on the gift. It was costly. She had a flask of oil, would be like perfume, but it'd be more than perfume. It'd be like balm, and it'd be like hair wash, you know, because they just didn't have shampoo. They didn't run down to Walmart and buy that $1 bottle of Suave, you know, with, you know, coconut flavor or ocean breeze. You know what I'm saying? So she had this stuff, and it was cost almost 300 denarii, which is the money they had at that time. A denarii was one day's pay. So she had close to that cost, the bottle and the oil, close to 300 days' pay. Now, how many days are in a year? 365, they actually, I forget, they were on a lunar schedule, but it's still going to be really close. 300 and something. Point is, that oil was close to a year's salary. How much you make a year? That's expensive. It wouldn't matter what. I mean, you take close to a year's salary and you buy something with it. That's costly. Now, she didn't give the gift thinking Jesus would necessarily like it. Because how did she know if that was his scent? You know what I'm saying? If a lady came and threw a bunch of oil on me, I'd be ticked. You know, I'd be like, what are you doing? You know, I don't even like that. It smells girly. You know, it'd probably be that patchouli oil that the hippies used and stuff. And it'd be like dripping on me. I'd be like, oh, man, trying to scrub that stuff off. Does anybody use patchouli now besides my mom? I was going to say something about smoking weed in the 70s, but I ain't going to say nothing like that. I'm going to leave that totally out. But the point is, she wasn't even thinking on, she just took what she had. She just looked at what was her favorite. She took her best. She took what meant so much and cost so much to her, and she said, oh Lord, this is for you. This is for you. And it reminds me of the gifts and the offerings we bring. We often think a whole lot about it as if it's as precious in the eyes of the Lord as it is in us. But I will tell you, it's precious in His eyes for different reasons. For Mary, she really loved that oil. She spent almost a year's salary on it. For Jesus, he loved that she gave her best. I don't think he was necessarily a fan of the oil. It's like the woman at the temple, she gave 2 pennies. There's people in there dropping big money in the offering. It's not a bad example, dropping big money in the offering. But they're dropping big money, thousands of dollars, boom, boom, dropping this money. She comes in and throws in 2 pennies. Dink. You know what? It had to sound, you know, pennies make that sound, coins make tink. You know, everybody else is dropping. I don't know, they probably got bags full of money. They're probably weighing it out, doing this big ordeal. Somebody's blowing a trumpet. I'm about to give my offering. Ta-da! And she goes, tink, 2 pennies. But what did Jesus say? Jesus said everybody else gave out of their abundance, but she gave everything. Everybody else gave a percentage of what they had, maybe 10% of what they had. Like good Jews would have in that time. They tithed. They gave 10% of what they had. She gave 100% of what she had. And Jesus recognized it. Not that it was a great gift in the sense of how much. She could have bought a pigeon. That's it. She could have bought a pigeon or a dove to have a sacrifice. That's it. That's all that 2 cents would have got her. But what did it mean to him when he knew that she gave it all? It was huge. It was huge. She gave her best. When we see Jesus as he is, y'all listen, you will be given the opportunity to give your best in worship. Doesn't mean that you will. I wish I could say it. I believe I've seen Jesus as he is, and I believe so often I've fallen short of giving him what he deserves. But you'll be given the opportunity when you see him as he is to give the best that you got. That's an awesome response. Ask yourself, have you seen him like that? Have you seen his power to save, to encourage, to get you through, to bring you in? I don't know about you, but I like being on the inside when I think about God. And I know who brought me on the inside. I'm not on the outside looking at God. I've been brought in. Doesn't mean I know everything perfectly. It just means I belong because of who Jesus Christ is. And I want to give him my best. I want to worship him for all I got. Does that make sense? I have that opportunity. If you see him like that, you have that opportunity too. If you've been afraid to take that opportunity, if it seems too costly, maybe that one of the things you need to do is just pray and say, Lord, help me. Help me follow this example. Do you see what it says in verse 9? Wherever the gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will be told as a memorial to her. Can you think of what, LG, you've been studying the Bible for close to 300 years now. Do you, Do you know of anyone else that says that about? Mary? The other Mary, during the birth time, and now this Mary, which I don't think it's Mary the mama, but think about what that Mary would have known about Jesus. He is the Son of God, you know, told by angelic host. Here's my point. You don't have this very often. This is special. Jesus responds to this well. The last one, and probably the most close to home. I'm going to end with this one today about Judas. Next week, we're going to look at Peter. But Peter and Judas are really similar, okay? And it's good for us to look at them close together. So if you're here today, I want you to make a mental commitment to be here next week. Otherwise, I will find you. And I will sit and tell you about Peter at an inconvenient time. But you could just come here. Hear it next Sunday morning. But we're going to end now on Judas. And I want you to think about Judas. We like to beat up Judas. Judas seems like the ultimate bad guy. He's a betrayer. But I'm going to tell you some things. One, we hear about Judas's betrayal always in the Gospels in connection to the gift that Mary gave. Mary gives the gift. We hear that there's complaining. Why was this money wasted? Why weren't we better stewards over what we had? We could have fed the poor. We could put a steeple on our church. We could do this. We could do that. We could have all these other stewardship things. Judas led the charge in that criticism. We find that out in the book of John in chapter 12. Judas led that charge. It also tells us in that book that Judas really didn't care about the poor. He just wanted to get money into the tank because he was taking some of it. Okay? But I still understand that Judas, I don't think, is a bad guy in the sense that we think of him that way all the time. I believe more than anything, Judas had this problem. He thought that Jesus had a really big heart, but that he was really naive about how the world worked. He had a really big heart, but he was naive about how the world worked. So he was going to take care of things. He was going to get things done with the movers and shakers. He found out that the chief priest wanted to kill Jesus, wanted to get him, wanted to arrest him. And so what he thought he was going to do was be really smart and compromise and negotiate some kind of terms. If you noticed over in verse 40-something, it's like verse 44 or 45, it says, I'll show you where he is. And this is Judas's request. Lead him away safely. I don't think Judas, we know how Judas responded after Jesus is crucified and beaten. Judas hangs himself. I don't think he was trying to be ugly mean. I don't think he was on board with those who wanted to destroy Jesus. He just thought Jesus was a lovable dummy who didn't know about real life, who didn't know about the real world and how things really work. I tell you something about Jesus. Jesus made this world. Jesus is going to rule this world. Jesus has infiltrated this world, and there's nobody who knows how this world works better than Jesus. Jesus is not a lovable dummy whose big heart got himself in trouble. He got himself into a situation he couldn't fix by loving us. That's not how it worked. Judas allows himself in this to be open to demonic spirit, to satanic leading. But y'all, I don't think his intention was to see Jesus crucified. We see his remorse. We see him throw the money back into the temple after the deed was done. We just see somebody who says, that was the final straw. We wasted a year's worth of wages. We wasted what may be for some tens of thousands of dollars just to show a little bit of worship. Right here, no, that's not how the world works. You got to cling on to that money. We got to do something. We got to stop this guy before his compassion gets us into a problem that we can't fix. Judas became a betrayer because he was trying to fix Jesus. He was trying to fix him. He was trying to fix what was wrong with him. He was trying to wake him up. Wake up, Jesus. You can't just go around do-gooding your whole life. You got to wake up, man. Smell the roses. Know what's happening. Don't you understand? These people are wanting to get you. We got to negotiate some kind of compromise. And he compromised right into betraying his Lord. Everybody asked me whether or not Judas is saved. And the Bible, I think, plainly says no. And that hurts people's feelings. But I'm just telling you, because I know you're going to have that question, so I'm just answering everybody all at once. Some people say, did he have a choice? I have no idea. You know, was it God's foreknowledge that knew that he was going to be the betrayer? And so we're told that throughout there. Or was he predestined to be? And if so, does he still have culpability or guilt as the betrayer? Let me tell you, he still has guilt. I don't know about all the rest. That's God's business. We just know what's in the Word. But I see the spirit of betrayal still at work, trying to fix the mission, the compassion, and the grace of Jesus because it's not practical, because it's not pragmatic, because it don't work in the real world. Y'all, if you haven't got it yet, there's a world, a spiritual world beyond what we see, that's going to outlast everything you do see. So I would say this, the real world is something that you and I don't know a whole lot about anyway. Go ahead and ask somebody what it's like just a minute after they die. They don't know. They will know eventually, but they don't know now. What's it like? Why do things happen that we can't explain? I'm not talking about just natural phenomena, but people. Why do people get involved in addiction? What kind of weird junk is that? Why do these things happen? We know that there's something more than what we see happening in this world, and Jesus knows it perfectly. Don't ever be those who, in the name of stewardship, financial responsibility, common sense, practicalism, pragmatism. Is that a word, pragmatism? It's a word now. Don't be caught up in pragmatism. Woo, it's bad. Don't get caught up in these things to the point where you would be a betrayer of Christ and his mission. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't have that response. And if that's been your response, do what I don't think Judas was able to do to a certain extent. And that would be identify it and repent of it. Because you and I have the benefit of seeing his example. You and I have the benefit of learning from him and saying, I don't want to be that one. I don't want to be the one that comes to the authorities and says, can you just keep Jesus safe? You know, treat him nicely because he's a good guy. He's big-hearted. He loves people a lot, but he's kind of dumb. He doesn't know how the world works because we're so sharp. Anybody here over 80 years old yet? We're so sharp in the 8 decades that we've lived in this 7,000-plus-year-old world. We're so smart about how it works, aren't we? We just know these things. Give me a break. You don't, and I don't, and we don't together, but he does. Instead of trying to fix them, we need to come humbly to him and say, Lord, lead us. Amen? Okay. We're going to have a time of invitation. And during this time, if you're here for the, you know, the recognition for the graduates, we're going to be getting them ready. So I don't know if there's somebody in here. Miss Debbie, do you know if everybody's in here or if they're out making the tabernacle? Okay. We're going to do that. We're going to have a time right now of invitation. So if there's something you need to do in response to Jesus, I'll review the 3 responses. One is, if I can't control them, I want him out of my life. I want to destroy him and his influence. Number 2 is I see him the way he is, and I want to worship him. Now, maybe I don't. Maybe I haven't taken the opportunity to, but I want to. Maybe you need to communicate that to him. And then 3 is the ones who think he's all right. He's a good guy, but I need to fix him because he's just not real practical, okay? And we're willing to betray his mission, his word, the compromises we have in our world today about the Bible, where we say, well, you know, this is out of touch and that's out of touch, that's all that is the same betrayal. God didn't really know when he wrote his word, and we got to correct it as we go along because we know better now than what they knew then. No, it wasn't they back then. It's not us now. It's him. It's his word. He knows. We don't. Okay? So if you need to say, Lord, I don't want to be a part of this betrayal, you just come and talk to him. Come and talk to him wherever God has you. If you need to talk to him in your seat, y'all know, that's fine. Just do business with God. He's the real deal, right? He loves us, and he can lead us. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for being willing to lead us. And would you help us now as we stand next to Jesus? Some saw him as a nuisance. Some saw him as saw you as the Son of God, holy and righteous. And some saw you as big-hearted but naive. Would you help us to see you as you are and respond appropriately? We love you, Lord, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This is your time now. You come forward as God leads. I'm going to ask the ushers to come forward, take up the morning offering. But as they do, didn't that song capture an extravagant expression of worship? Even with my every breath, I want to love you. That just kind of hits it. Father God, I pray that as we take up this offering, that it would be given to you through the church. But Father, that you would be pleased. Thank you for allowing us to give back a portion of what you give to us to live and to have our life here. We love you and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Say your name, y'all come up here.
And when I say their name, y'all applaud for them like they just got on The Price of Right or something. You know what I'm saying? You ever watch that? The next contestant on The Price of Right is LaDavian Heron, graduated from Grenada High School. Come on up here, man. Just come on up here. We're going to get you all up here. Next one is Catherine Reeves from Grenada High School. Come on down. I'm looking. If you're not here, don't come down. It's a rule. You got to be present to win. Gregory Clark from Grenada High School. Come on down. They're not so excited. Look at LaDavian. He's not excited. Did you have your party yesterday?
There you go.
All right. Calm down now. Jonathan Tatum from Holmes Community College. Woo-hoo! Come on down. Hayden Mooney from Winona High School. Is that right? Got it right. That's what I'm talking about. So y'all aren't really comfortable just standing in front of church like this. Last but not least, Miss Jetta Melton from Holmes Community College. If you graduated from something and we don't have you, didn't acknowledge you, but you feel like you said, hey man, I need some acknowledgement. put it on Facebook about how... No, I'm just kidding. You can either come up now or something, but anyways, we love you still. We just didn't know, okay? It was just our part. It was bad. So I'm going to give this now to Jack, and he's going to share some things.
All right. Hey, how are you guys doing? Most of these kids have been in the class. Of course, you two have not been in my class, but we still want to recognize you because you guys did do your accomplishments, and you still did what you needed to do to graduate, and we're happy for you. We just got a little things for you. Jonathan, graduating Holmes Community. If you need an accountant, this is your man. If you got a small business, he's looking for work. All right? So he's done well. He's done, what's your GPA? 4.0? 4.0, you know? No, I don't know. But he graduated, and he's off to now do his understudy and then higher up stuff. So we're Ole Miss, you going to? So don't hate him if you're a State fan, okay? But he's going to Ole Miss, and he's going to do great things. God has always blessed him. He's always been in my class. He's always come faithfully on Sundays, even though he's sometimes a little late because of Clash Clans and stuff. But he's God's been doing great things for him, and I expect more great things for him in the future. And maybe he'll throw some kickbacks from his accounting business. But congratulations. LaDavian. What can I say about LaDavian? He's been in there ever since he was a little kid. I've loved him for years and years and years, and he's been working a lot, but he's always been a pretty faithful student. And he's going to be a chef. Culinary school. So, and I've always seen his brothers posting videos of him cooking and stuff like that, so I kind of expected this to happen. But, you know, so he's going to be pretty soon, he'll be probably going on the tutelage of Miss Kit and learning some stuff and learning how to make the special gravy biscuit stuff and stuff. But I'm really happy for him and expect a lot of good things for him, too, for the future. Maybe he'll open up a restaurant and we'll all have to go down there and see him. Yeah, tell us where. But congratulations. Yeah, where are you going? You're going to?
I'm getting a trade.
He's going to trade school. And then probably Blue Apron or something like that. Congratulations. Oh, Greg. Gregory, I found, is like the most loved kid in school. The prom king. What else? He graduated with honors. Very, very high. What were you in class? You were like 15?
No,
70. 71? Yeah. 71. 71 in the class, but out of 264. 234? Sorry. I was there, and I still don't remember. Anyways, it's a really great to see Greg succeed. He went on a mission trip with us, and man, it opened his eyes. And God really got a hold of him and taught him a bunch of things about he really doesn't need those shoes. But he loves the Lord, and he really does. And I'm sure his grandma's really proud of him for looking down on him in heaven. But I'm really glad that you're in our class, and I love you. And I expect great things for you in the future. And you're going for a veterinarian? He's going to be a vet, so he's going to actually be close to just being a doctor. So if anybody has anything that's animal-related, he's your man. And any kid-related, because he loves kids, too. So I love you. I expect to see great things from you in the future, too. All right. This man I don't really know very well, but by golly, he graduated, and that's... Wait, how'd you graduate in your class?
I was 22nd.
22nd in his class, so that's really good. Out of how many in Winona? 72. 72 in Winona. So 72 people graduated, he was 26. So did you get honors in that, for that? What was your ACTs?
24.
24, hey, I'm learning about this. 24, very good. And you're going to go to?
I'm going to go to East Mississippi Community College.
East Mississippi Community College for?
Physical therapy,
all right. So all the sports people will be happy that you're there. But congratulations. And there's a little gift from us. And then we come down to the last person. Graduating nursing school?
No, medical billing and coding.
Oh, medical billing and coding. That's what my sister does. She's been doing it for years. And we just want to say congratulations.
Thank you.
And that it's a good college experience. And hopefully that we see good things in the future. And hopefully God blesses you with a good job.
Thank you so much.
And that's it. Give everybody a clap.
All right. Hey, make sure you hug them before they go. Go ahead, stand, clap. They did it. Remember, it's the... Oh. Hayden's going to be physical therapist if I hurt you just now. Jonathan, you're going to be an accountant. Do you come with your own money? That was my question. Okay. Hey, let's... We're going to be dismissed, but remember, hey, don't take these things for... It's a good day when we can celebrate what God has done and accomplishments. Don't ever take the good days for granted. Amen? Okay, let's pray and then we'll be dismissed. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for this time. And we do, in all things, just ask that you'd be glorified, even for these who graduated. We're thankful, but we look to you to say the strength, the support, all those things, we give you credit and we give you glory for it. And Lord, we love you. Help us to be those who walk in our just honesty and integrity with Jesus. And Lord, we love you and we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Hey, y'all, thank you for letting me be your pastor. I love you. Ready? Break!